The name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In coming to these concluding services, I will read for my speech the first epistle of Peter from its fifth chapter, from its beginning. The words are in Jesus' name as follows. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over the entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And also the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that shall not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you are submissive to one another, to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called you into this eternal glory by Jesus Christ, suffer a while, while perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I drove here to the Opisto Friday in thoughts, and many memories came back to me from many, many decades. And I thought here at the beginning of these services, I wanted to remember something last summer when we were supposed to assemble in Keura. We were hoping to gather there. And we 50 people from confirmation class 50 years ago wanted to gather there at those services, but that event did not happen. But that those confirmants who 50 years earlier had been in confirmation school wanted to get together, and when we assembled for confirmation from Northern Karelia, we thought this was a great experience coming, not knowing even where we were going. And we came here. We were in this age that we probably wanted to try smoking tobacco. We wanted to try, see what would happen here. What would become of this? And then when we came with these thoughts to this Opisto yard, there were about 130 confirmants there. There were unknown 15, 16-year-old believers, and there were some unbelievers too. When we came here, the situation was here that there was not accommodations for so many. And many, many of you who have been here remember a place called Vestola. It was a long corridor downstairs. And there was only 15 centimeters or 6 inches between each mattress. And we tried to quieten down to fall asleep. We tried to keep the windows open to somehow get air exchange in there. And God was present there in that confirmation camp. Then a certain confirmant was traveling about through this corridor. One confirmant said that to the big that I have a question. I remember pondering what will happen from this. This young person wanted to ask something about faith. He asked, "Is it proper?" I don't remember. Was it related to music or was it some other matter that ponders youth? And these elders, these bigs, listened. And that discussion lasted long past midnight. And then it ended. And we remember. Then we understood that the bigs answered the question that this brother had. And then we had a discussion evening later, and we went into even more tender faith matters. And then a certain evening, a certain boy asked, "Can I believe my sins forgiven?" And to me, that experience was something special. My parents encouraged us to believe. They told us what was right and wrong. But now we were in a situation where my mother or father was not present. I was a youth. And amidst these other confirmants, and I hear this question, one asking another, "Can I believe my sins forgiven?" And this event meant so much to me, at least to myself. And we talked about this almost every evening. And the streams of the gospel were flowing, and these bigs would often come to the dorms to be with the confirmants, to tell them and remind them of what the purpose of confirmation is. We learned the Lord's Prayer, the benediction. We learned the commandments, their meanings, and the creed. And living faith was able to take a new or a better stand in our hearts. And when we were completing the confirmation camp and preparing to go to the church, we know that the Holy Communion is a special event. With a pure and clean conscience, we want to come to that supper. Remember, you youth, if something is bothering you, something that you want to speak about, it is for this reason there are these fountains in Zion. You can relieve yourselves of these matters and put away those sins that are burdening you. And you can then go with a free mind, go to this Holy Supper. And this also happened there. Then opened that, which opens to each and every child of God and every person the most important matter of faith, of life. Do I want to dwell as a putter away, one who puts away sin? Do I want to put away the burden that besets me and put away that which is resisting my faith? It affected so much. And this was so precious for me to even listen to the young boy who related about confirmation camp. And he said it was so precious. He said that if he would be able to one day come again to confirmation as a big, then 3 years later, after going to confirmation, I was asked to come as a big to these. I was able to, for a couple summers, be a big at a confirmation camp. And it was such a precious experience for me. And those evenings together where we discussed, it was so precious we could help one another and we could encourage one another and encourage each other to believe, and we could realize that this is the most greatest gift that one can own. I am now a grandfather. My children have gone to, my grandchildren have even gone to confirmation camp. They have remarked, commented on what kind of confirmation camp they had. Each one has their own experiences. But here in Christianity, we have confirmation schools for about 2,500 people. And we have held confirmation camps for tens of thousands of confirmants. If we want to be established in this kingdom of God, and I think of you who have gone to summer's confirmation camp or are going, you wonder whether, and then those of you who are pondering whether to come to Opisto, you should always remember, what is the purpose of life? If we look at our lives in the light of God's word, we see one the centermost thing in our life. And that is this, that we would remain as children of God, that we would be in the midst of God's kingdom, where all of these necessities are given to us within this kingdom. God helps our lives. He blesses our lives. And we can, in faith, trust that this is good. And it is good for us to realize that it is good for us to believe like this, and God's word shows to us that we are always, every day, battling. We have heard many sermons where it is opened unto us how important it is to come into God's kingdom. You, perhaps one who long ago, perhaps in Yamsa or somewhere at one of our confirmation camps, you remember how you believed then. You received the gospel then. You wanted to make those promises. I want to believe like this. I want to believe and dwell in God's kingdom. In its midst, it is a precious journey. When we were able to assemble at common evenings and be joyful over this joy of believing, we have seen over the decades how the enemy of souls has been able to bring sin upon us, and we have always suffered for this. It has hindered our faith. But when we confess our faith and we want to dwell and live with the power that God gives us, despite the onslaughts of the enemy. And now, if you hear and listen to this sermon, remember, this is still a time of grace. From God's kingdom, there still is heard, proclaimed, this promise that you can believe, all sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And when you believe like this, you shall then that we heard from Einari Lepistö's old sermon last week, when he pictured the situation of the world at that time, that in one matter, we people are all on one common level. We are all sinners. We end up in sin, and nobody can travel in this world without falling into sin and fault. But then happens such a matter that in another situation, this world is divided. There's two peoples. When people are before God's face, there is a group whose sins God does not see their sin. They are the pardoned sinners. They are those who have believed and wanted to believe their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And this grace gospel is that which cleanses us from all sin, and they are not even visible before God. But then those people who do not want to believe, they want to live and dwell as in different way. They want to work. They want to make good decisions and be successful in diaconate work and gain by good merits. Then there are those who the enemy of souls wants to bring onto different ways, the wrong way, and the enemy of souls wants to keep them in their sin, and the sin is always near. And it is possibly so that their life is good, and I can be joyful over this, what the world gives me. I do not want to give it up. But God's view in front of such a person is such that those sins are always before them, and these sins are a hindrance unless they put this sin away, unless they can come back on this way that goes to heaven. We are on this road as children of God, Every day we want to make these promises that we want to believe. It is not dependent on a person. We do not want to look at God's kingdom from the outside. It may seem such that this life of a child of God, it is all rules and restraints, do's and don'ts. They are only praying with their hands folded, singing songs and hymns. It may seem so that they only dress in a certain way, and their lives seem so limited. But when we look as children of God from the inside, this household, we see this blessing of God, which He wants to give unto us. And we have no reason to fear. And we have such a destination, such a goal, that if we continue on this, we will then attain that glory. It is so precious that you, dear young one, when you have been able to attend confirmation, remember always why we are believing. And we always then raise these questions. We ask, like Adam and Eve asked, did God really say so? Remember two things. Remember to take the scriptures. Read the Bible. Look at what the Bible says about this matter or that. So many times in this world, the Bible is challenged. We are living such a time that people are asking, is the Bible true? And remember that the Bible has been written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is that wisdom, teaching us right from wrong. And based on this, we can base our discussions. And then the Holy Spirit can be in our midst, affecting. And we can, in this way, be uplifted and encouraged in faith. But when we come to the hearing of God's word and listen to His word, there are two matters. And first of all, it affects us, speaker brothers. Here we have come, each one of us in our turn. We always pray that God would give us speech. And it comes to my mind this, how the Lord Jesus Christ approached Peter on the Tiberian shore. You remember, dear children of God, you remember what Jesus asked Peter. He asked, do you love me? And Peter answered, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. And the second time when he asked, and Peter answered again, you know I love you. And then Jesus said, guide my sheep. And then the third time when Jesus asked, do you love me? Peter answered, Lord, you know all. You know I love you. And again he said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And what does this mean to us servants? I would think in this way. It is precious for us children of God, all of us. You are all servants of the word. You, boy and girl, we heard in the previous sermon also how, who is the greatest in God's kingdom? You, boys and girls, who also hear this word of God, you also are the servants of the word. You have been given this gospel. You have been given the promise and the authority. When you see someone who has fallen, you can preach the forgiveness of sins to one another, like we heard in an earlier sermon. You can go to your mother or father and care for these matters. It is important that this is the work of the servant of the word, the gospel. Each and every one of us can do this same precious work. And we know that, I know that all of us do this. It is important for us to speak to one another amongst the elders, the younger, one another. It is good when God's word is able to guide these discussions. And it is so precious that the gospel is preached, and we can believe that gospel. And then there is also from the congregation. It is so precious that when this kind of call comes, that when the call comes to serve, that would you be willing to come and serve? And when we are obedient to this call, we want to humble ourselves and do it, even though it is so that many of us, all of us, speaker brothers, we feel ourselves so lacking, so poor. But in God's kingdom, it seems that there are so many more poorer or better than such a poor one as I. But this is so important that we remember that not only certain speakers have special gifts, but when God shows that we as speakers are also level-headed, equal, and we can recognize this, but when we together do this work of the gospel, God gives us the word with which we can feed the congregation. And then when we speak of this food, and when we think of the food for the sheep, the gospel is that most precious food. And when I was a young man and I was asked to serve as a servant of the word, a certain brother told me that when you go to preach, remember to never forget this one thing, that you will always preach the centermost thing of that sermon. Uplift the believer, the listeners, to believe all of their sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And we need not listen to the enemy's speech. We need not have fear. We can enjoy the streams of grace. We can believe our sins forgiven. And then we remember Jesus' other advice, to guide my sheep. And it brings forth this, that we not only talk about the good and gracious God, but we also speak in our sermons about the dangers of sin, of such matters which are tying us into this world. We want to put them away because they cause us to stray from God. And we want to remind each other about these dangers. And then we, servants of the word, are advised that we would not do this work under any demands, but with a happy and contrite mind. We want to serve as long as the congregation of God wants us to serve. And then we always come to the mind of prayer that God would give us the right words, that I could teach and uplift. And then when these words of admonition are necessary, God would give them. We would not go to approach someone from above, but from below and uplifting so that they could be preserved in faith. It is precious for us to notice that God spares us from these dangers. And then this other matter. Which comes from this, that you young also be submission to your youth, to your elders. For God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here has also been spoken of much here, that do you know, you young ones? Have you remembered any discussion where you have been rejected of this, but instead, in each discussion, has always been this, that may God protect us in this kingdom, that we could find, even in our, as in our youth, we notice how the enemy of souls wants to bring us into the world. But oh, if God would give us such escorts and such friends that would be able to guide us in this way and receive this guidance as construction, whether it be a mother or father or grandmother or grandfather, we don't want to resist. But many times we feel that they don't understand. But when we remember, they are believing. But when God has protected them as children of God, they want to bring us to services. And when they wanted to guide us when we were young, they wanted to bless us with the gospel. Their desire and will has been to this, that we would be rooted in God's kingdom. And then when you come to the threshold of adulthood and you are moving away from home and you are wondering, now I will be free. No longer is my mother and father present. I can now make my own decisions, what I want to do. And then the mother and father and those brothers and sisters, they are those who are your brothers and sisters in faith. Many you mothers and fathers who are in the trials of this world, whether it be of childbearing, whatever matter that is pressing your heart, whatever is tying you into the ways of this world, pray to the Father, Heavenly Father, that he would protect you in faith. Remember to discuss. Remember to talk about things. And it might be so, just like it's been spoken of here. We can maybe ponder what kind of music you listen to. Can you, dear young one, open your heart, your own, can you open your own computer and or your phone and say, this is the kind of music I listen to? Or has there been such a mind that the enemy of souls says that you do not dare show this, what you listen to? It's not only to these young, but also the elders. When we think about sexuality, in the midst of what we must live in, we see how in this world wants to allow everything, and they want to avoid the Word of God, circle it. When we remember our own courtship, we remember our difficulties and our errors, but we were always corrected. But remember to always be in courtship, respecting one another. Remember then that the wedlock, this marriage, is that time for living together. But if we remember what kinds of wounds we can fall into, talk about them. It is this reason why I want to remind you young and like you girls what kind of clothing you should dress into. We do not want to go with the trends of this world, but we want to keep a pure and clean conscience. We had, during summer service weekend at our cottage, there were youth gathered there. Almost all of the youth gathered there were unknown to me. And there was Saturday evening. We had the sauna going, and we were talking. And I spoke to the youth in the language of youth. You remember this? What kind of questions were given there in the discussion? What is a good escort, a good companion? What is? And he said, this is what I wanted to talk about. And we spoke about this on the sauna bench. What is a good sister in faith? And we spoke about this. This person that we want to court is believing. That is number one. And then number two, or another matter, is this, that we can discuss matters of faith with them. And if you are really serious about courting them, if you want to start dating them or courting with them, then they said that it is good that we would talk about matters of faith together. And it comes closer to this, that if we talk about eventually getting married, it is so important that our foundation is founded upon this faith. When we talk about marriage life, bearing children, and when we establish a family, it would be good that it is always on a firm foundation. That, imagine, I told those boys that when I go out there into the yard and there is a girl there, that who I fell in love with 46 years ago. Why has this person been so precious to me? God has blessed me with this companion. And it is this, that we have been able to always rely on the gospel. And these boys also said that this is the kind of matter is important to us too, that we want to preserve faith so precious. We did not want to talk about how beautiful somebody was, but we want to love those own. We do not want to admire someone what kind of quality clothing they have, famous brand clothing, but we want to give respect and treasure the faith that they have, so that they could travel together. This was a good discussion for us. We had a good discussion. None of us wanted to leave that discussion. And then we then went swimming, and it was good, felt good, because we had discussed so long in the hot steam. Then it was nice to see the same youth on Sunday evening during summer services, who reminded how precious it was for us to discuss things. Well, I want to remind you to discuss, talk about these things, discuss things, ask from your elders and older people, what matters can you discuss? And then when we, in those kinds of discussions, and in battles, we find ourselves failing, then our advice here is to submit or humble ourselves to the under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Remember that God will exalt us. When we come to these footsteps of repentance, when we battle against our own conscience that is resisting, remember to come and come to repentance and put away sin. Put away that sin which causes our journey to be slow. And then this writer here said, cast all your care upon him. Do you have cares? I'm sure all of you have cares. Some bigger people have bigger cares, and smaller ones may have smaller cares. But sometimes we may be sorrowful and caring about, can we get candy? But it is important. There might be some who have been told when they want something, they cannot get it. When someone wanted candy before going to sauna, I said, let's see what the situation is after sauna. And these youth answered, we were given extra time for our curfews to discuss. Nobody wanted to leave. And it is precious to notice how obedient children want to be obedient to their parents if they have curfews, when to return to the camper trailer. We do not want to be disobedient. And then when we have these cares, God can see into our hearts. He sees even especially into your dear brother and sister. He also sees even you who is wanting to hear this gospel, and you are not yet in this kingdom. He wants to call, invite, he wants to plea unto you to believe. God sees our many trials, our burdens. We trust that God will take care of us. And it is important, like it says here, that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We remember how the enemy of souls was so enticing going around, brothers and sisters, like what happened to King David and what happened to so many others. The enemy of souls wants to cause us to fall astray, entice us, and do so like a roaring lion, seeking who he could get. And he always wants to say or seek out those who are a little bit weak. And someone has said that they have marvelously felt how God has pulled them into this kingdom, that even such a poor one as he can be a child of God. Here at the assembly, here at the Opisto, you are in precious duties. I'm sure that if you were asked, that has it been a difficult weekend for you? I'm sure your hearts have been full of joy that you can do the work of God's kingdom. This, if anything, is so precious that we can be in the midst of God's kingdom. If we are asked to do some duties in God's kingdom, it ties us closer to God's kingdom. Let us perform that work when we are asked. Do it with the gifts which the good Heavenly Father has given. And then in this next verse is that resist when steadfast in faith, knowing the same sufferings were experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We know that those before us have also suffered the enticements. We want to be as a child of God. We want to put away sin and put away that which the enemy entices us into. And then when we look what the enemy of souls so often says, that such a unsuccessful believer like you is impossible. But remember that each and every one of us have been in battles before. We have seen the enticements of the enemy of souls. But when we bless one another with the gospel, we are preserved in this kingdom, and we gain victory in these battles. And once we will attain that wonderful crown of glory in the glory of heaven. And in this last verse it says, but God of all grace, who called us into this eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. Have you, dear brother and sister, experienced this kind of situation? When you have had hot battles, how can I proceed in this? Then God, the Heavenly Father, has sent to you a precious escort so close to you, and you could then unburden yourself of those matters that are bothering you, and you can believe this gospel. Each and every one of us can pray for this, that God would give us such precious, reliable escorts to whom we can talk when matters are troubling us and pondering how can we proceed in this. The centermost thing of this gospel is this, that, and in conclusion of a sermon is this, that dear listener of the word, whether you be close or far, wherever you are listening to this, in whatever corner of the world, in this assembly or elsewhere, you can believe in the name and precious blood of Jesus, all of your sins forgiven, unto peace freedom and joy. And I want to picture, preciously paint this picture of a stand of a child of God, a small child. Remember, the disciples were pondering, how can we perform that everything is in order? And when there were children present there, and the disciples were disturbed by what the children voice, the noise they were causing, and they wanted to put away the children. And have you had that kind of temptation? But Jesus stopped and said that allow these children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Do you not, dear young small child, want to believe your sins forgiven? And even you who have for decades been believing, do you not also want to believe? We are all children of the day. We can believe all sins, faults, and failings forgiven in Jesus' name and holy precious blood. And in last, long last, you who do not yet own this precious faith, to you also belongs this gospel. You can believe, wherever you might be, you can believe this gospel unto yourself. You can believe through this sermon, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy precious blood unto peace, freedom, and joy. In preparing for this sermon, I had so many doubts, and they surrounded me. Can I believe my own sins and faults forgiven? I desire to believe together with you. Let us remain in this way, believing. In Jesus' name, amen.